In but John chapter number 2, I want to look at verse number 1 and read a very familiar story to you here in John chapter number 2 and verse number 1. And the third day there was a marriage in Canaan of Galilee. The mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said unto her, "Woman, what have I to do with thee?" Now don't try that unless you're the Son of God. "Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come." His mother said unto the servants, "Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." And there was set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus said unto them, "Fill the water pots with water," and they filled them up to the brim. And he said unto them, "Draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast," and they bare it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew. The governor of the feast called the bridegroom and said unto him, "Every man at the beginning doth not set forth good wine. And when men have well drunk," now what that means is, they don't mean they were drunk. That means you can be well drunk on Pepsi. You know, I'm done drinking, I'm full. Well, they were full of drinking this grape juice. Hallelujah. And when men had well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. Let's go to the Lord in word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd help us now. The next few minutes, I pray that, God, you would, Lord, not let me mess the service up. And, Lord, I'm trying to be a help. And, Lord, I want everybody not necessarily to pay attention to me. I'm nothing. But, Lord, I pray if you'll use me as a vessel, Lord, that I could say sorry. You could say something through me that might help somebody. So I pray that you'd hide me behind the cross as a dying person preaching to a lost and dying world about a dying Christ that didn't stay dead but rose on that third and glorious day. And I pray that we could point people to you. And Lord, you help us to do that now. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen. Here in John chapter number 2, one of the first miracles that Jesus performed was turning the water into wine. Old wine old told me one time, said, "Well, is it all right to drink wine?" I said, "Well, if you make it like Jesus did out of clean water, help yourself." I don't know many people that can make wine out of clean water like the Lord did. But if you can, the IRS will let you drink it, I guarantee you, and sell it. But anyway, here we have the water turning in to wine. Here is a marriage feast. They're going to this marriage ceremony. It is a sort of like what we do after the wedding. You have a reception and all of that kind of thing. Well, this is what's going on. And in a Jewish wedding, it was, these things went on for about 7 days. I'm talking about a reception that goes on for 7 days. And it would be an embarrassment if you run out of wine. Oh, it would be embarrassment if you run out of grape juice after 7 days. You would be married 25, 30 years, and everybody would remember, "Hey, that's that couple that ran out of wine. Boy, I'm telling you what, I don't remember." And it would be an embarrassment to the family. So it was an embarrassment to run out of wine. Mary, obviously they knew these people. And let me say this, marriage is sacred between a man and a woman. Amen. Marriage is being destroyed today. Doing away with the real meaning of marriage. I think there's something to "till death do us part." Young people marry who they fall in love with. But I tell you what you better do. You better learn how to fall in love with who you marry. This is the first miracle, turning the water into wine. And I love reading the miracles of God. I love reading about raising Lazarus from the dead. I love reading about blind Bartimaeus, and he's sitting by the wayside begging. Jesus comes by and heals his blinded eyes, and now he can see. All of those wonderful stories of the miracles that happen all through the Bible. But listen to me this morning. The greatest of all miracles happened when God, the God of heaven, came down to sinful man, died for the sins of the whole world, and redeemed mankind and made him fit for heaven. That is the greatest miracle of all time, is when God saves a poor old sinner. I love to go to auctions. I love to hear those auctions. Brother Eric done one of those cake auctions there at the Valentine banquet, and here he goes, and da 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 da, and 50 and a 5, and da 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 da, and they give me one, and give me two, and hallelujah. Boy, I love it. And here they go, boy. I love to hear that. And I read a story about the old violin. The old auctioneer brought the violin up, and it was about to fall to pieces. And the auctioneer lifted it up, and somebody said, "Oh, that ain't worth much. I'll give a dollar." Somebody said, "I'll give two." Somebody said, "I'll give three." Somebody said, "Five." And the auctioneer said, "Going once, going twice." And an old gray-haired man stood up. He said, "Oh, don't sell that violin for such a meager fare." He walked up to the platform. He took that old broke-down violin. He started to tune those strings. He tuned the E string and the A string and the D string and the G string. And he rosined that bow. And he tightened the feathers or the thread on that bow. And he started playing something most beautiful you would ever hear in all of your life. And all of a sudden somebody said, "I'll give 1,000. Somebody said, "I'll give 2. Somebody said, "I'll give 3. Somebody said, "I'll give $5,000. For the violin. What makes the difference? Because when the master gets a hold of something that's worthless, something that nobody thinks worth to it, when God gets a hold of something that people don't think is any good to it, when he gets in the master's hand, it'll make the difference all of the world. One day, the old devil was auctioneering, and they was auctioning off and off me. Somebody said, "Oh, he ain't worth much." Somebody said, "I'll give a dollar." Somebody said, "I'll give two." And then the God of heaven stepped up, and he began to tune the strings of my old soul. He began to rosin that bow across those strings. It began to play "Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound," that saved an old wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And somebody said, "I'll give 1,000. Somebody said 2. Somebody said 3. Somebody said 5. What makes the difference? It's when the master gets involved. Hallelujah. I love those old miracles. But in verse number 10, it says, they said unto him, "Every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine. And when men have well drunk, then they bring out the bad," or the stuff that wasn't as good. But he said, this Jesus fella has saved the best for last. Y'all don't get ahead of me now. And I just want to preach to you just for a few minutes on saving the best for last. I can tell you this, that old devil, that old slew foot, I'm talking about that old devil. I ain't talking about your wife, sir. I'm talking about the devil. He don't show you the end of sin. That's why he tells you to drink old crow, but he won't tell you like you'll puke like an old buzzard. The devil says have a big time, but he won't show you the hangover in the morning. He won't show you the cirrhosis of the liver. He won't show you the car wreck down the road with brains scattered out all over the highway. Oh, no. He gives you his best at the front, and the worst is coming with the devil. Young people, you better listen to me. Listen to me real good. You say, "I'm going to try some of that meth." You better look at some of the pictures when the people start out. They start out with teeth, and they end up with no teeth in their head because they smoke that stuff and shoot that stuff. I'm telling you, the devil will give you his best and save the worst till last. I'm telling you, that's the way the world does. He won't show you lung cancer that you're headed for. Amen. I'm telling you what, he'll show you a good time. He'll say, oh, and here goes that fella. He's a-winking at you at the workplace. And boy, it causes butterflies in your stomach. Boy, you just get all giggly because he's showing you more attention than your husband does. And the devil says, go ahead, have a good time. If it feels good, do it. And boy, there you go. But he don't show you the divorce court. He don't show you the child custody fight in the battle. He don't show you the and the waiting room there at the doctor's office. Waiting on a HIV report. He won't show you all of that stuff, my friend. Why? Because the devil gives you his best and saves the worst till last. The Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. The devil will show you his best. He uses these billboards. You ever wondered why when he uses these billboards? He puts a good old looking woman, she ain't got enough clothes on to make a pair of britches for a blue jay. She's got one of them lucky camels between her fingers. I'm not talking about the kind of camels that's got a hump on them. I'm talking about the camels that'll put a hump on you. And there's a glass of Budweiser, and Bud, you'd be a whole lot wiser if you wouldn't fool with the stuff. And the devil paints a big picture. Oh, that's the best. And all you young people get all, I'm talking about crazy over that. Boy, that's living. Boy, going to that party. I don't remember where I was at last night. Man, we had a good time. What happened? I don't know. I just woke up and some girl was laying in my side. I don't even know who she was. See, the devil don't show you all that stuff. He shows you the best on the front end, and he don't show you the worst that's a coming. You better listen to me, young people. This preacher loves you enough to tell you the truth. I'm telling you, the devil will give you his best on the front end. I mean, can't even sell Coca-Cola without putting a picture of a naked woman on there. Can't have a commercial on a hot summer day. They'll pull that Budweiser out of that or whatever. I don't care what you call it, but they pull that out of the stream. Boy, that stream, cool breeze blowing through there. And they'll pick up that out of the stream. Boy, they'll pop the top on it. And boy, they'll drink that. And boy, that's living, boy. I'm telling you, that's the way to go. I'm big shot. Man, that's the way to do it. But they won't show you. The devil, hey, you ever wonder why the devil don't put on them billboards some old hag up there hadn't got a tooth in her head? You ever wonder why? He don't want to show you that, my friend. He'll use a woman that's got enough paint on her. If you kissed her, you'd get the painter's colic. I ain't against makeup, but I am against cake up. Hallelujah. You put too much on, it'll make a freight train take a dirt road, I'm telling you. Live it up. Have a good time. The devil will deceive and fool people. He says all you need is religion. That's all you need. Everybody wants religion. I'm quitting. I'm not asking nobody if they're a Christian. Everybody's a Christian. You ask anybody in Dyersburg, and I'm not fixing the text, but I am fixing to turn the air down. Is that all right? Or up, hallelujah. Hey, listen, I'm telling you this. The devil wants to say, hey, you join the mooses and the gooses and the who got loose? Amen. And that's, you know, you need to do this, to have this secret handshake. And had a fella tell me one time, he said, you come by way of the lodge and you'll see the Lord. I said, I bypassed that a long time ago, went straight to Calvary. Hallelujah. Just get religion. Just join the mooses and the gooses and the hoot owls. Devil, give you his best. Kiss the Pope's big toe. Boy, that'll get you there. I'm telling you, join in. Confess your sins to a robe-wearing priest. They call him Father. dresses like mama, and the bird ain't even married. Hallelujah. My head hurts, my stomach hurts, and can't find my cigarettes. Now, some of you ain't liking that too good, but I'm telling you this. Religion, I don't care what Osama says, Obama, or your mama, religion will send you to hell. Hallelujah. You can come to church every time a door is open and split hell wide open. You can visit all the sick. You can turn over a new leaf. And you can do all the keeping the golden rule and mow your neighbor's yard and all you want to do. But if you've never had a first-hand encounter with Jesus Christ, you'll go to a devil's hell and the devil won't show you that. He'll show you the good. He won't show you the bad. Well, that's all introduction. Hallelujah. I told you, man, we don't need to call off church no more for snow. Man, I just got this built up. I got about 3 days built up. I just want to introduce you the next 15, 20, 30 hour, 45 minutes. I just want to introduce you to a man that saves the best for last. Jesus Christ saves the best for last in creation. Jesus Christ stepped out on nothing and made something. I like one fellow, he put it this way. God stepped from behind the curtain of nowhere onto the platform of nothing and spoke a world into existence. And the reason God came from nowhere is because there wasn't anywhere for him to come from. And coming from nowhere, he stood on nothing. And the reason he stood on nothing is because there was nowhere for him to stand. And standing on nothing, he reached out of where there was nowhere and caught something when there was nothing to catch and hung something on nothing and told it to stay there. Then standing on nothing, he took the hammer of his own will and struck the anvil of his omniscience, and sparks flew everywhere. He caught these sparks in the tips of his fingers and flung them into space and decked the heavens with stars. And nobody said a word. And the reason nobody said a word, because there wasn't anybody there to say anything. So God said it was good. And God saved the best for last. You know what he did on the sixth day? He formed man from the dust of the ground, breathed in his nostrils the breath of life. Man became a living soul. You say, that ain't the best for last. You ever heard of Jesus dying for grass and trees? You ever heard of Jesus dying for dogs and cats and horses? You ever heard of Jesus dying for everything else he created in the first 5 days? No, but there's one thing you have heard of. God sending his only begotten son into this world to die for the very thing that he saved the best for last. And that's every one of us in here in this room. That's how much Jesus died for you and loved you. Stepped out on nothing and made something. God sends his best last. The book of Hebrews tells us of a God's better things, a better way, built on better promises, based on a better covenant, because of a better sacrifice. Over there in Hebrews chapter 12, it tells us Jesus, the mediator of the New Testament, and the blood sprinkling speaks better things than that of Abel. Cain and Abel, those two brothers got together. Cain killed Abel. Abel's blood cried out from the ground, vengeance, vengeance, judgment, judgment. Everywhere Cain went, he had the judgment and the vengeance of the blood of Abel all over him. But my friend, God saves the better things to last. And Jesus Christ died upon the cross. And the blood cries from the ground, mercy, mercy, mercy. Always saves the best for last. I'm glad for that, aren't you? Amen. A better sacrifice. Genesis 22, Isaac says, where is the lamb? Where is the lamb? All through the Old Testament, they brought some lamb, the firstling of the flock, without a spot or a blemish. That was good and all. That was good and all. But I'm telling you this, nothing will be able to top when John the Baptist says, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." All through the Old Testament, all God ever got to smell was rotten flesh of old animals. But I'm telling you this, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, the Lamb of God, heaven said, "I smell the roses of Sharon, the lily of the valley, and the bright and the morning star." God saves the best for last. Oh, yes, the birth of Jesus Christ, that was a good thing. Hallelujah. Christmas time. That's what we call Christmas time. That's good. The birth of Jesus Christ. That's wonderful. But if God would have stopped there, oh, it wouldn't have mean nothing. He saved the best for last. Jesus Christ was born in poverty. How he was raised up, not a place to lay his head. And ladies and gentlemen, they hated him. They beat him. They spit upon him. They crucified him to an old rugged cross. And just when it seemed like the lights were about to go out and nothing good was going to come out of it, early on that third glorious morning, God saved the best for last, and Jesus rose up out of that grave, victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Stay in your seat. Don't get excited. He's just saving the best for last. Hallelujah. First time he came to die, but the second time he comes, he's coming to raise the dead. He came the first time, they questioned whether he was king. The next time, the world will know that he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The first time he wore a crown of thorns, the next time he'll be wearing a crown of glory. The first time he came in poverty, but the next time he comes, he'll be coming in power. The first time he had an escort of angels, but the next time that he comes, he's coming with 10,000 of his saints. And the first time he came in meekness, but the next time he comes, he'll come in majesty. God saves the best for last. I can tell you this, let me get down to the crux of the message. God saves the best for last in the Christian life. You see, the devil has us deceived. We watch television preachers and we think by hearing them preach, if we're living right, doing right and all that, we're going to have 3 Cadillacs, 2 houses, a dog house that's got an air conditioner unit in it. I'm telling you this. They'll give you that and say, "Oh, look at all these good." The Christian life is, I have more fun on accident than some of you do on purpose. I just have fun. I have fun, and the Christian life ought to be that way. But this ain't all it is. This ain't all it is, my friend. And you know, Paul said this, Romans 8 and 18, he says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." You say, "Preacher, what are you talking about?" I'm talking about we're pilgrims and strangers passing through this world. And this world's not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. You say, "What, it's not going to be there?" I'm telling you this. Paul says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight in glory." God saves the best for last. You know, the devil says, "Hey, he want to give you the best now." And a lot of people bite on it and take it. But I'm telling you this, he don't show you the worst. Some of us Christians, you thought just because you got saved, all your problems are going to dissolve. You thought just because you got saved, you'd never have another bill. You'd never have another car payment. You'd never have another house payment. Oh, friend, Paul says this light affliction, not worthy to be compared. You may tell you what that means in the Greek. That means God saves the best for last. We get to heaven, you're not going to care. You say, I've heard people say, "Boy, we get to heaven. Boy, I'm going to ask God why this, why that." When you get to heaven, you won't care why. Because all of this, you won't worry about a thing. Because the best is yet to come. In the Christian life, some of you are going through some hard times. Hey, I'm telling you, look up. That's the only hell you'll ever have to experience. Some of you have been through some rough times. I know you have. I've prayed with you, and I know you've been going through some rough times. But I'm telling you, God saves the best for last. It ain't always going to be that way. Because Jesus Christ says this. He says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I'm telling you, the best is yet to come. No more sorrow, no more sickness, no more dying, no more cancer. Brother Jerry, no more tumors on the brain, no more cancer, Brother Crawford. I'm telling you, don't get excited, ladies and gentlemen. I'm just here to tell you, the best is yet to come. God don't give you his best on the front end. You just got to wait to see it. Paul said, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither has it entered the heart of man, the things that God hath prepared for those that love him. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We saw here in John chapter number 2, I'm about winding up. You know, y'all ain't got to do the Baptist salute on me. Hey, so what the Baptist salute? Man, my body's telling me it's just 11 o'clock, hallelujah. I'm just now starting service. Some of you are like, oh, Lord. No more sickness, no more death, no more dying. But over here in John chapter 2, they went to an earthly wedding. Hey, y'all been, you know, listen. I like to go to weddings. I like to watch weddings. I don't like to really perform them because, I mean, just everybody's looking at you. And they're waiting to see, okay, who's going to mess up first? There's never been a perfect wedding. Somebody, one of the kids fall, or one of them starts crying back there, and they don't make it down the aisle, and somebody, and they don't stand up here like they're supposed to, and they're up here wiggling. I mean, that's just all part of it. And they're waiting on the preacher. Preacher, man, he's going to say, you know, you promised, and sometime I've done this. I did it to the, I asked the man, you promised to love, cherish, and obey her. And, I mean, you know. She's like, yeah. I mean, I've done some mess ups before. But they're always good to see. Beautiful picture. I'm telling you this, the best. We ain't been to the best wedding yet. In Revelation chapter number 19, verse number 7 says, hey, let us be glad and rejoice, for the marriage of the Lamb is come. She has been arrayed in fine linen, robed in white. Hallelujah. You talking about a wedding? You ain't seen a wedding yet till you see the one's coming. The best is yet to come. You say, oh, preacher, it's bad. You know, Russia up there, the Bear of the North, and Moscow right north of the nation of Israel. Boy, the Bear of the North. Boy, don't. I mean, what do you think about that? Boy, I've been looking at that. I've been studying that over in Ezekiel 38. Boy, I've been looking at that. And you know what I come up with? I said, man, I took two baby aspirins, went to bed, and don't worry about that because the best is yet to come. Oh, yeah, preacher, it's getting bad. Oh, I don't know what we're going to do. You just wait, because one of these days, the Lord's going to descend from heaven with a shout. And you get ready, because if you're saved, you'll go up with him. You ain't seen nothing yet. I'm talking about we're going up in a plane air ride. Not an airplane, but a plane air ride. Up to heaven. Say, I'm scared of heights. You won't be scared of heights in a glorified body. Don't worry about that. We're going up to be with the Lord. And I'm telling you what, we're leaving like Superman. We're coming back like the Long Ranger. We're coming back on white horses. And I'm telling you this, Revelation 19, verse number 11, the whole world will say this. When they see him in the clouds, coming in that white horse, and he's got a two-edged sword, he's a-swinging. This is what the world will say. The best is about to come. Amen. Now you think about this. Y'all know, I'm fixing, it's 5 after. If anybody wants to do a time check, it's 5 after. Anybody knows me knows I love to eat. I like to go. There's a place over in Memphis, and it's all, man, you know, forget the salad bar. Salad bar what? What's a salad bar? Bring the meat. I mean, Cain and Abel, come on. That's in the Bible. Cain brought a salad. God said, uh-uh. That's in the Bible. I'm just telling y'all what's in the Bible. Cain brought a salad, the fruit of the ground. God says, I ain't taking that. That's what it means in the Hebrew. God says, bring on the meat. Hallelujah. I'm telling you. And listen, going around, some of the camp meetings we go to, some of the best eating. These ladies, some around here, I'm telling y'all, some of these ladies and some of the men around here can put the foot in it. I'm talking about. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And it's what they do. Now, this is one of the privileges I like of being a preacher. All the little old ladies, they seem to take care of the preacher more than anybody else. Hallelujah. This is what they'll do. They'll say, Brother Jeremy, I know you hadn't had time to get over in that line, but I put you a piece of pie back over in the refrigerator, and it's hid back. They will. And it's what they'll do. They'll do too. They do it here and some other places I go and visit some of these other churches. It's what they'll do. Now, hang on with me. Don't lose me right here because I'm about to close. Hang on. It's what they'll do. Son, I'll come around. I'm full. Full. They'll come around and say, Brother Jim, can we get you another piece of chicken, anything? I said, no, I'm full up to my neck. I don't want any more. And they'll say, well, we got some chocolate pie back there. I said, boy, that's what I saved my neck for. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. All seriousness, y'all know what I'm about to tell is the truth. They'll reach down, get ready to take the plate. Anybody want to guess what they say to them little old ladies say? They say, Brother Jeremy, you might want to keep your fork. Right. When they say that, there's something good on the way. When they say keep the fork, they bringing you something else. And it's going to be the top. I mean, the meal was good. But you bring on that dessert, and they tell you, Brother Jeremy, you might want to keep your fork. You know? And you keep that fork, you put that fork. They do it at Grecia. Hey, you want to keep your fork? I said, yeah, I sure do. Hallelujah. Keep your fork. Why? Because the best is yet to come. Amen. An old lady, she died. She called her preacher before she died, and she made arrangements with her preacher. Come on, Mark. And she made arrangements with her preacher. She told the preacher, she said, I want this song sung. I want this verse said. I want this, that, and the other. And I want this, that, and the other. And she said, preacher, this may sound odd. True story. She said, this may sound odd, but when I die, I want you to put a fork and my right hand, the casket. The preacher said, it's an odd request. What do you want me to do that for? She said, preacher, while everybody's coming around, they looking, they're going to say, I wonder what that fork's in there for. And preacher, this is what I want you to tell them. Hallelujah. What's that fork in there for? Preacher says, the best is yet to come. Heavenly Father, I pray.